I want to speak to you today on a subject that I talk about from time to time. So again, I probably won't be saying anything super new. However, I'm saying it from a different perspective, maybe, than I've ever said it before. Or at least I'm feeling led to speak about it. And I want to talk to you, and I want to say, this is the title, Don't Lose Your Honor. Don't lose your honor. So we had another crazy week, right? I mean, how many uncrazy weeks have there been this year? Most of the weeks have been pretty nuts. And there was controversy this week. I'm in touch with a lot of people from California. There's a lot of stuff going on out there because they're saying, you know, they can't have church. And then the Supreme Court made some decisions that people are questioning. And then, you know, the one that really fired me up, I don't know whether you guys get fired up or not, but you see this stuff on the news and sometimes you just want to, what? The hydroxychloroquine thing was really interesting this week, wasn't it? It really was quite. So some doctors who are calling themselves the frontline doctors, and I don't know, you know, they're actually doing stuff. They're actually out in the trenches doing stuff. I think that's a big deal. And they were having some success treating people, and then others are saying that they're wrong and it's a mess, and then like on cue. The state of Ohio, the Board of Pharmacy, on Wednesday puts out a ban on hydroxychloroquine. And, listen, I know doctors that have their opinions both directions about this, okay? So I'm not even trying to take a side per se, except I kind of am frustrated because I've been involved in ministry and therefore medicine, and therefore my wife's worked in doctor's offices for over 30 years, and I'm in hospital rooms when people are making decisions sometimes. I'm there with their doctors, watching their doctors make decisions with them. I've been there when people pull out of it, you know, miraculously. I've been there when people pull out of it because they found the right treatment. I've been there when people didn't pull out of it. And, you know, I've watched all that. And it, you know, I've been there. And I've known a lot of docs. And I trust the doctors. I've not known really any doctors who I was like, that person's evil. I've known a few doctors I thought, and I think I need a second opinion. I really don't know any doctors who are like, I think, sitting over there going, hey, watch this, we'll give them the wrong stuff and they'll die. I don't think doctors do that. I think generally doctors are trying to do the right thing, and I've watched a lot of doctors and I've watched them. I've watched the look in their eyes when they can't do anything, the frustration that they have. To me, the medical workers that I've known for the most part have been pretty decent people. If for no other reason, you know, I think some of them don't want to lose a patient just because they don't want their record marred. But whatever, they don't do stuff trying to fail. Generally speaking, that's just what I've noticed. That's you know, 40 years of being a pastor and my wife in the business for 30 years, and I think they're really trying. They're trying to do their best. And I don't think they approach everything just carelessly, without thinking it through. And by the way, they can't afford to do that. I don't know, you all don't understand this maybe, but doctors pay a lot of money for malpractice, or the organization they belong to pay in their behalf. And they have reasons not to want to mess up, all sorts of reasons. Besides the fact that I think most of them genuinely care. I have a cousin who's a doctor and a surgeon, and he's lost people and talked to me about it, and it's painful. So when the Board of Pharmacy took the action that they did, I was kind of feeling like, wait a minute, You know, I got a little fired up about it. And I was supposed to be on vacation, so I'm down in southern Ohio stomping through the hills with my grandson and you know, paying attention to him most of the time. But every once in a while, my mind would go back to that, and I was frustrated about it. But I did think to myself, okay, stay off Facebook. You don't need to say anything right now. Yeah, well, I had one little bump with somebody who was, you know, basically saying that, you know, the government has to protect all the idiots. And I personally don't believe that's the government's role, is to protect all the idiots. And the only way they can do that is to make everybody exactly the same and give everybody nothing. And then nobody can mess up because they don't have anything to mess up with. So I'm not for that. By the way, did any of you, like me, have a face that you connected the band to? See, I had a face that I connected the band to, a governmental face that I connected the band to right away. Because I connected it, when the board of whatever they call it, board of pharmacy did it. I don't know anybody on the board of pharmacy, but I do know somebody in the state of Ohio who is making decisions. Who do you think I was thinking of? Yeah, Governor DeWine. So right away, it's like, and you know, that's not right, because I may have been seeing him, and by the way, there were things on Facebook, right? Now, I'm going someplace positive with this, so don't fear. Fear not. I know I wasn't alone, and I don't know whether you noticed or not in your time, some of you on Facebook and other social media, but it's not exactly what I'd call place of honor. Like, honor isn't the primary thing that people are trying to do on Facebook. Now, there's a lot of things about Facebook that I like. I like to laugh, and I see some funny stuff on Facebook. I like to laugh. You know, there's some interesting things that get put on there, and you know, curiosity. I'm that kind of person. So there was a rather large amount of what I would consider dishonoring going on almost immediately when people began to express their frustration. That's not a surprise, right? I'm not telling you anything that you wouldn't even actually expect it if it hadn't happened. And so that was going on Wednesday, and I didn't post anything, but I had some things. My creative mind was thinking of all sorts of snarky things that I could say. And then on Thursday, the ban got reversed. And it seems that the governor wasn't for the ban in the first place. Now, some may argue he may have been okay with it until people started screaming bloody murder at him, and that may be true too. I don't know. You know, I don't want to be him right now. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be him. You know, I'm kind of glad that I'm not him right now. And I don't know, and I don't care why it got changed. That's not even my point. It's not even, my point isn't even that the ban was right or wrong. That's not even my point. My point is, this morning, that what I care about, more than any of that, was my attitude. My attitude. I started thinking about how I was reacting and what my attitude was. And I care about my attitude, and I care about the attitude of God's people in general. The people of God need to keep a good attitude, and we are not untouched by all that's going on, but we need to be careful that we keep all this within the framework of where we ought to be as Christians and keep a good attitude. So on Wednesday, I was on the verge of not being very honorable. And I suspect that some of you thought about that too. I'm not saying this because I saw anything, by the way. I didn't see anything from anybody in this congregation or anybody that I think would probably be watching that made me think, oh, I better talk about this. That wasn't it. It was me. It was my attitude. I was, you know, I wasn't on much this week. I got on every day and put a little post up for, you know, the gotnophobia thing that I put up. And that was about all that I had time for, except for, like I said, just getting on. It wasn't hard to find stuff right away. People were not happy. So There's a lot of dishonor not only going on social media, but there's a lot of dishonor going on media. There's a lot of dishonor going on everywhere we look. And a lot of people are saying things. And I started thinking, we need to think about that a little bit. And maybe it's just a big deal to me because my parents gave me the name Timothy. And Timeo, the beginning of Timothy, is honor. And the thee part, where we get theocracy, is God. And I try to be honoring to God, and I think honoring in my life. So it's an important subject to me. It's an important subject to this house. And I thought, you know, maybe I better remind us. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not sure that we won't have more opportunities for frustration in the next few weeks. Like as we build toward this fall, because there's an election and because there are some people who are more concerned about, I think, the election and taking advantage of certain situations than they are of the health of some people. It frustrates me. It really does. And so, you know, I don't blame people for being frustrated either. But I want to make sure that we don't lose our honor in this wildly crazy, politically charged season. It's just a nuts time. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read a section there, and it won't be the first time that I've quoted this section, and this section is a big deal to us in this season that we're in. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 9, and I'm going to have a lot of scripture today, not a lot of different scriptures, but just a lot that I'm going to read through, and I'm going to take my time and try to read it real easy, and you can try to follow along. Verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. By the way, I just want to say this. This isn't exactly what this is saying here, but I think it's applicable. You were chosen for this generation. You're not here by accident. God didn't bring you to pass during the time of Jesus. He didn't bring you to pass during the Middle Ages. He didn't bring you to pass in the 1800s. He didn't bring you to pass, you know, early last century. You're here now for a reason. Am I on the right? Are you guys okay? Am I on the right verse? Oh, okay. Sometimes I write things down wrong. So you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And I like the King James Version where it says a peculiar people. And some of you are more peculiar than others, but yes, you are special. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'm going to adjust this microphone just a little bit, because somebody else used it last week, and now it's a little too close to my face. There, that'll help. I don't want to spit all over your stuff. Okay, verse 11, beloved. Now, those last two verses are wildly popular, and we read those all the time, quote them all the time, and they're good. But verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Remember that, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the kings as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So, do any of you remember? I've said this before, so you probably do. But if you don't, I'm just trying to see if stuff I say actually sinks in sometimes. Do any of you remember who was king when Peter wrote this? Nero. Somebody remembered. And who was the emperor or king who ordered Peter's death? That would be Nero. So before Peter died, his attitude toward Nero was not one that got him killed. Just a thought. And I've talked to you maybe a little more about Nero if you want to look up somebody who was a very nasty, nasty guy. Nasty guy who did some really perverted things and, you know, stomped his own pregnant wife to death and things like that. Yeah. Nasty guy. Nasty guy. Now, think with me for a minute. Historically, what could kings in the past do that American leaders have not been free to do? Any thoughts? What would kings sometimes get away with that American leaders can't? Like murder? Well, some of you say, well, some of our American leaders have gotten away with murder too. Probably, but not if it was found out. Like Nero could do what he did and nobody was going to stop him because he was the emperor. He was the king. Kings in the past, a lot of times could just like, somebody walks in and they didn't like the look on their face and you need to smile better. And the person tries to smile, but their fear makes them smile kind of one of those crummy looking fearful smiles. And the king goes, I don't like your smile. Off with his head. I mean, that was kind of the way life was once upon a time. Emperors had, kings had control to the point where they could just order your execution willy-nilly. So, if we were told to honor kings who could be super corrupt, I mean, corrupt beyond anything that our leaders can get away with, if we're told to honor them, do you suppose that we now don't have to be as honorable toward presidents and governors and mayors and people like that? Because, well, yeah, this is different. Different day, you know. Well, we elect these people. They're our servants, so we can be as mean as we want to be. We can say anything. We don't have to show these people any honor. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's what the heart of this scripture is trying to do, is to somehow say, you know, it's different now, so we don't have to do it. As a royal priesthood, we are called to act with honor among those who are outside the faith. Remember I mentioned that one verse, Gentiles? That word, as it's used in the New Testament, was to refer to people who don't believe what we believe. Some of them believe the opposite of what we believe. But yet we're supposed to behave with honor toward people outside the faith. The behavior of others must not determine my level of honor. And I was wrestling with that this week. That's just being honest. And I'm glad that I did as well as I did, but I probably could have done better. I don't want the behavior of others or my agreement or disagreement with others on what they do or decide not to do determine who I am and how I'm going to live and how I'm going to behave. And sometimes that's just stinking hard. It's just hard. It really is. And I get it. Let's remember also that Jesus said our behavior toward the least of these will be counted as behavior toward him. Matthew chapter 25, if you want a reference for that. Our behavior toward people who we think are, I don't have any use for you. Well, and as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. So I want to be careful with that because I want to remain an honoring person and I don't want to lose that. And when others seem to be out of whack, I don't have the luxury of becoming out of whack also. Like it's not good for me to become out of whack because they're out of whack. Down in Logan, there are two roundabouts on the end of the bridge, the overpass that goes over Route 33 on 664. And I got to admit, you know, when you have to go through them as many times as I was going through them this week, you start to notice that some people don't know how to go through roundabouts. And I cannot say that I was always honoring, you know, I need to practice on the roundabouts so I don't say something stupid when somebody really big and important does something stupid. I need to practice being good on the roundabouts. And I wasn't always good on the roundabouts. I get to, go, oh, man, you could have gone. Why didn't you go? I just don't understand why, you know, yeah, there's a guy on the, you know, I think some people stop and look on the other roundabout. There's one on each side of this thing. And they're looking way over there. Is anybody on the roundabout yet? I'm not sure I can go. Yeah, the race car driver in the church says he's passed people on roundabouts. I can believe that. I can. I've ridden with him when he drives fast. A couple of years ago, Danny Silk, who some of you would recognize that name, put together a video curriculum called The Foundations of Honor. And he put it together to go through and be to teach through his book, The Culture of Honor, which I have read multiple times. And I've listened to a series that he put together before the Foundations of Honor series, but he had another series. And I also found it someplace else. And I've listened to his book and I've read his book. And, you know, and it's been important to me. And as part of that interview with Bill Johnson, and I know I've told you this before, but as part of that interview, he asked Bill, you know, he was talking because Bill was in the Foundations of Honor video teaching thing. And he said to Bill, how would you define honor? And I don't know what it is with Bill. He finds these things out of nowhere. I guess I do know what it is because I found myself saying things before and I thought, I need to write that down. That didn't come out of me. That had to come from someplace else. You know, I know that that's what happens, and it happens with Bill a lot. And so Danny says, how would you define honor? And Bill said, that's where I treat you like I would treat Jesus. So, you know, I have found myself at the roundabout going, okay, Jesus, just go, oh, no, you missed it, Jesus. You could have gone through right there, but okay, I'll trust you to get the next one. You know, people, hey, Jesus, the this is a stoplight, not time to check your email. The light is turned. Go. Do I beep at Jesus or not? I'm not sure. You know, it's one of those things where you battle. But I think that's one of the most profound things that I think I've ever heard. And so did Danny, by the way. He says, I could have avoided writing a whole book if I'd have just had that right there. Honor is where I treat you like I treat Jesus. If we do it as unto him, it's not, we should get this into us. We should get him into us so much that we do things as unto him to the point where that's who we become. That's who we are. I'm a person who's just trying to stay honoring. And as we do it, as we honor, we create a momentum that people can get caught up in, that as our scripture that we went through at the beginning said, will silence the foolishness of ignorant men so that by your good works they observe, they will glorify God. I know that sometimes takes patience too, because a lot of times, no matter what you do, people are gonna nail you for it. They're gonna be negative about it. But sometimes it's later, you know, it's later that they start to see these things. It's later that they start to understand. And we have biblical examples for this. So in Daniel chapter 4, I'm going to read a section here. And this is Daniel giving an interpretation of a dream to Nebuchadnezzar, another guy who, you know, was a rough guy. He was a rough king. It says, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. This is right after the king tells him, this is my dream. And Daniel's like, oh man, wow. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. And Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies. And then he begins to go and tell him the dream. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read every verse, but starting in 20, he tells him the dream. And as he's talking to him, he's telling him, you know, that this is going to happen to you, and you're going to basically lose your mind, and it's going to happen for, you know, 7 times, which has turned out to be 7 years. And he says, this is going to happen in verse 25. He says, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. There's an important thing for us to not forget. That's why I wanted to read that at least. Till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, not just rules in the kingdom of heaven, Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And so he goes on with this dream, and then he's like, you know, here's how you can maybe avoid this. This is what God's going to do. And if you are like careful, and he gives him some things to do, but a year later, the king is standing out looking over Babylon and so proud of himself and so caught up in what he had accomplished and how great he thought he was and everything else that the Lord comes to him and says to him in verse 31, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And he says, you, they will drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you. And here's that same phrase. Until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Just remember that, by the way, as we approach elections. Just remember that. God rules in the kingdom of men. By the way, I preached this in 16, and I preached it back in 12, and I've preached this, some of this before every election. And so Nebuchadnezzar ends up doing that and having that experience. And then he says, and at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven. This is verse 34. And my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom from generation to generation. And at that time, everything was restored to him. And I like what it says in verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. You know, Nebuchadnezzar is the guy that conquered Daniel's homeland. Nebuchadnezzar was the king that destroyed the temple. Nebuchadnezzar killed a whole lot of Daniel's people. Nebuchadnezzar had an image set up of himself and told people they had to worship it. 3 of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not worship it, and they were the ones thrown into the fiery furnace. On a real personal level, by the way, Daniel was a eunuch, and it was the king who made him a eunuch. And most of you know what that means. Don't look it up. So Daniel had every reason not to really give a rip about this king. Think about it. He had every reason to say, when the king said the dream, instead of feeling bad for the king, he could have just said, well, you got it coming, dude. Serves you right. There you go. That'll teach you. I mean, I don't know that I would have blamed him either. I don't know that I wouldn't have done that if I'd have been in Daniel's position. But he didn't. He tried to help the king get out of the situation. And those who walk in pride, he will put down. Have you noticed there's a lot of put downs that go on Facebook and other social media? And it's become common for people to just put other people down. No, very little honor being passed back and forth, a lot of dishonor being passed back and forth in the day that we live in. When I was a young guy, we practiced put-downs. And to tell you the truth, that's not always an evil thing. I mean, I was fortunate when we went down to see, you know, family and take our grandson down and walk through the hills last week. And we had a glorious time, and it was nice. And I got up one morning, and I went, and I met with three of my friends that I graduated high school with. And immediately, we started with the put-downs. I mean, you know, we said things, we laughed. It was like being a junior high kid again. It was so much fun. And, you know, I was enjoying being with them. But if God puts you down, it's a big deal. God put this king down, and he can put any king down. He can put any ruler down. He can put anyone down, and there's not anything they can do about it. And it's not our job to try to put people down the way God does. Not our job. Our job, in fact, is to lift people up. And by the way, when I met with my friends, we joked a little bit, but then we also encouraged each other. It was fun. So if someone needs put down, I recommend we let God do that. Like, sit back and go, ooh, that's going to leave a mark. Yeah. You know, if a ruler in our land does something that's not smart, like, you know, there are people out there that in California, again, they're having a real problem because they're right now, we're still good to do church here in Ohio and not so much in other places. And there's, I don't have a dog in that hunt, and I just need to pray and ask God to take care of those who do, and maybe encourage a few of my California friends that in their frustration to relax a little. Most of them have been honoring, I think. So just to balance a little bit here, you may be thinking, well, so we're just supposed to listen and let the government tell us what to do. Just do what we're told. That's the way you're telling it, Pastor? You just do what you're told? Well, let me just remind you, I mentioned it earlier, the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't do as they were told. You remember the story, right? Chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty." They keep calling him your majesty. He's a dirtbag telling people that they have to worship his idol. No, no. No, that wasn't their attitude. That wasn't their attitude. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Some people read this and they read it from an angry point of view. I don't think they were angry. I don't think they were rebellious. I think they were just standing their ground for what they felt like would please God. And if it meant it cost them their lives, so be it. Later, Daniel himself is thrown into a lion's den for a very similar infraction. And the king was kind of tricked into that deal. You can read about it in Daniel 6. And the king was kind of tricked into something, and then once it's written in the law of the Persians and the Medes, it has to be fulfilled. And Daniel was praying three times a day, and he wasn't supposed to pray to anybody for a month except for this statue that Darius had set up. And, you know, Darius was mad that these guys tricked him into it. They were trying to get Daniel killed, and Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den, and the lion doesn't eat him. By the way, the ones who pulled the dirty trick ended up in the lion's den. Daniel continued to put God first. I think we need to be careful about that. We don't need to be angry about it. We don't need to be rebellious about it. We just need to be who we are and do what God's told us to do. And each one's going to have to answer in his own heart to whether he was listening to God or not. You know? By the way, it says in Romans 14, it's not our job to judge another man's servant. Romans 14, 4. Before his own God, he will stand or fall, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Our joy, our hope is that even if somebody that we know is making a mistake, that they'll receive eyes to see, and they'll fix it. This isn't just an Old Testament thing. The apostles were commanded to stop teaching in the name of Jesus in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. It says, "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about the things that we have seen and heard.'" And then in the very next chapter, not only have they got Peter and John in there, they drug in all the apostles. And in verse 28 of chapter 5, "We gave you strict orders," this is the leaders again, "not to teach in this name," he said, "yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." There is a time for that. I don't want to deny that. I don't want to throw that aside. There are people right now that out in California have been meeting on a beach. And revival's been taking place. It may be the beginning of another Jesus movement. Literally thousands are showing up. I mentioned that to you last week. There are times when we may have to stand for what is right in a way that might not be easy or comfortable. We might even have to take a few stripes for it. The apostles in chapter 5 ended up being told not to preach in the name, and they were beaten and sent out, and they went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to take stripes for the name of Jesus. Crazy. You probably won't get any stripes. You might have somebody on Facebook be mean to you. Poor baby. You might have somebody you work with get mad at you. I don't know what to tell you. The response of the apostles wasn't full of dishonor either. They just said, "Look, this is who we are. This is what we do." Just that simple. They didn't get into the gutter and sling mud and any of that stuff. So I just want to encourage you. And if not for you, at least encourage me by looking at this message again. I'm encouraged. I am a peculiar person. Some of you have noticed. And even in a culture of dishonor, I have to be who I am. And quite honestly, the more dishonor there is out there, the more peculiar you and I will become if we really stick to who we are and who we're called to be. We will be those, "Yeah, that guy's kind of different," and that's okay. And based on the divided nature of this time that we are in, honestly, a whole lot of people are going to need us to be who God called us to be. A lot of people are going to really need us to be who God called us to be and to not get caught up in the craziness, but get caught up in the Spirit. So be the one God has called you to be. Be the one who honors. Amen.